welcome to the first episode of Five and Out, post our 100th episode spectacular. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a brand new top five for you, Steve. What is that top five?
We are doing our very first character deathmatch.
Ooh, it sounds exciting.
Yes. We've got five different categories. We've each selected our champions for those categories.
Yes.
And we will duke it out, similar to Deadliest Warrior style.
Or the Super Fight card game.
Very similar to that. So listen on for the categories later on, and you tell us if we got the battles right.
Enough of this, Steve. Let's let the battle begin. So, Steve, before we started this podcast, you told me that you had some shit to talk about.
Well, the main thing I had to talk about, the day has come. The day, well, almost come. Day I've been waiting for months.
You're finally a man.
Finally! I grew my first pube.
Oh, I thought Holly finally gave it up.
Oh, no. After... We're still years away from that.
That's good, man. That's good.
No, Arkham Knight is released tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
And you got the hard copy, yes?
I have the hardest copy.
Whoa!
Yes. So I leave work. I go straight to the Best Buy on the way home.
Please, please, we're skipping some steps. You leave work, you get into your car.
That's right. Okay. I talk real slowly to my car. I'll be like, baby, I only need you for about another 25 minutes. Just don't quit. I have a very reliable, good car, but today specifically, don't mess around, car. I go to Best Buy, I get the copy, and I've been telling my wife for 2 weeks. Now, I mean, she's very cool about this stuff anyway, but I wanted to make sure this was very clearly understood. I told her for weeks, I'm like, by the way, Tuesday, June 23rd, I am playing Batman all day, all night. Leave me alone. Is that clear? So I stop at Best Buy. I probably get some like chicken wings or something on the way home. Mm-hmm. So I have to waste time cooking.
That's right.
I get home. And then my wife will be out to dinner with one of her best friends, drinking wine and hanging out, out of my hair.
Sure.
I am playing Batman until like 2 in the morning.
Well, that is awesome, man.
I'm super excited.
Are you calling in sick to work the next day?
I can't say that on the podcast.
All right. But Steve, you do sound like you're coming down with something, let me just say.
A case of the bat cough. and that is kind of the precursor to, finally, I'm feeling excited about some games, because we just had E3 the last week or so.
That's right.
And my God, there's some amazing trailers, some great news, some great releases on the way.
Now, this is odd, because I don't know hardly anything that came out of E3, so enlighten me. Tell me all about it.
Well, for me, maybe the most,
Ooh.
One of the most.
Okay.
Is the reveal of a remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
Which I've been asking for years. And finally, Square is listening to me. Yeah. No one else, to me. I mean, as I've said numerous times, one of my favorite games of all time. And all I want is that same exact game, just updated graphics. That's it.
That's awesome.
Really, that's all I want.
And you know what? I could actually play it for the first time.
Yes.
And have it not be outdated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was super exciting. They showed some more Uncharted 4 stuff, which is exciting.
Sure.
They showed, was it No Man's Universe? Is that what it's called?
No idea.
No Man's Planet? No Man's Planet. It's, you know.
No Man is an island, I think is what it is.
You know how they do the guns in Borderlands where it's an immeasurable amount of guns?
Sure.
That's how this game is with planets.
Okay.
There's this giant, massively, I don't know if it's a massively multiplayer online game or if it's just this huge game that there's millions and millions and millions of planets that spawn randomly and different stuff. And like, it's,
what do the planets do? Do you land on them? Do you?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so. And then you explore and you don't know what you find there.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's randomly generated.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How big are the planets?
I don't know. Probably varying sizes, I would guess.
Okay, that's cool. It's not like the size of a grocery store.
No. There's more than six aisles.
Oh, okay. Good.
And most exciting to me is they released the trailer for XCOM 2.
Sure.
Which will be coming out in November.
This is great, man. You got Arkham Knight now.
Yes.
And by the time you're wrapping up with that, XCOM 2 will be out.
In what, 2 weeks?
Arkham Knight? No, you're going to be playing that and replaying it until you get that platy.
I can platy pretty quick when I want to.
That's right. You do live in a weird time vortex.
I do. And also more stuff for the Phantom Pain, which will also be out. I believe it is September, October, November, right in there as well. So there's a couple of very, very exciting games coming out later this year. Finally, some real AAA support for our lowly PS4. Just some really... Oh, and then, I mean, take this for what you will. This game has been shown at E3, God, I don't know, for the last 9 years. But they showed video of The Last Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, it's by the same people that did Shadow of the Colossus and Ico, however you say it.
We'll never know.
And it looked great. It was like a seven-minute video in-game footage. It wasn't CGI rendered scenes or anything.
Okay, so not the same trailer we've been seeing the last 15 years.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So I was like, wow, if this game ever gets made, it'll be pretty good.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, so it was good to feel excited. Oh, and shit, I mean, of course, Fallout 4. Sorry, Fallout 4.
Yeah, Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 comes out, I think, in November as well, which is going to be just another life-sucking game.
Sure.
So once I get into the fall, and you know, it's getting cold and can't go outside in Chicago as much, like in the December, January months, I'm going to have a full plate of Fallout and Metal Gear 5. And, like, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And XCOM. And XCOM. The glory of XCOM.
I will not see you ever again.
No, that'll be it for me.
Yeah, until you step out of your apartment years later with some light facial hair.
a little bit. And actually, I'm glad you brought up facial hair because I wanted to bring up something completely unrelated to video games.
Good.
I don't know if this happens to you, but I get in my certain routine for things like your morning routine. I wake up, I pee, I brush my teeth, I take a shower, blah, blah, blah. Then like on the way out, I put deodorant on, and there you go. That's kind of the routine.
Okay.
Because I grow embarrassingly awful facial hair, and it grows so slowly, I don't need to shave a ton.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe like, it's probably like a once a week kind of thing for me.
Sure.
Maybe twice.
Yeah.
So today I shaved, because it was the Monday, shaving day. So took a pee, went to the sink. Lathered up the old face, shaved it down, took the shower, deodorant, on my way to work. Halfway to work, realize, didn't brush my goddamn teeth.
Oh, no, that's the worst.
It truly is one of the worst.
Oh,
because
man.
It sticks with you all day.
Were you able to go to, like, a gas station
no,
and get to...
No, because I was running late when I left work. Left for work. So I couldn't stop. I was like, I have to stop and buy a toothbrush and toothpaste. But I was already late. So I could not do it. So I was like, I chewed a lot of gum. Like, I rinsed my mouth out a lot with just water and, like took a paper towel. I was, like, wiping my teeth, you know, and, like, anything I could do.
Mm-hmm. Ate those onions.
I did eat onions at lunch.
No, you didn't, Steve. Why did you do that?
Because I'm a stupid head.
You're a dumb man.
And I drank coffee.
Oh, good.
I was like, if we're going to go for it, let's just melt someone's face off. Let's just melt their face off like in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Hey, Dan, come here. Let me breathe on your face. Oh! Wow, that would be the crappiest superpower. Chronic halitosis.
So, and I realized the same thing happened. I wear the same belt most of the time, but I recently switched to a different belt that's one of those kind of like canvas kind of belts that you don't put the metal spike through, if you will.
I was really expecting you to say like the bat belt with all the contraptions
nah,
on it.
I don't have one of those.
You don't have one of those?
Not yet. I'm working on the contraptions.
Okay, good.
But it takes an extra step to like lock that belt.
Yeah.
So I realized I kept leaving my fly down because I'm so used to like it was like the two-step process or whatever. It was like button, belt, zip. But then I had to go button, belt, belt, and I was like, that's enough steps.
My brain cannot handle any more steps.
It couldn't. I realized I kept leaving my fly down.
Wow.
I get
Steve.
Into routines, man, and I just don't. I go into autopilot.
Steve, strong showing today.
Yeah, feeling.
You're covered in shaving scars because you've only shaved three times in your life. You have terrible breath, by the way.
Just blasting people's faces.
Your pants are on backwards.
Yep.
And your belt's around your forehead.
Yeah, it was kind of a rough day for me. Bit of a rough day.
Wow, dude. Well,
and I don't even have the excuse of being up late playing Arkham yet.
No.
The one thing about it, I was like, I stayed up till 5:30 in the morning playing Arkham.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I stayed up till 1 a.m. last night playing Just Cause 2. I like how you're excited about this game, this brand new game everyone's excited about. I'm like, hey guys, have you heard of Just Cause 2? It came
Thank
out
you.
3 years ago.
Thanks, 2009.
Yep, awesome. That's me constantly trying to catch up. It's a great game. It's a lot of fun. I played it for half an hour. I was like, oh, I am going to platy this bitch.
Yeah.
Because it's just that goddamn fun.
Okay.
So yeah, man, I recommend it. After I get done with it, and maybe in between some of those games, you can borrow Just Cause 2.
I just pointed out I will have no time for such things.
Well, Steve, you live in a time vortex.
That's true. That is true. I can manipulate time if I find it advantageous.
You should manipulate time and learn how to to pull up your goddamn fly, you animal.
That is the great conundrum that is my powers. I can travel through time, but only in a very embarrassing way.
Yeah. Let me ask you. So yesterday, I went out with you, woke up a little bit earlier than I normally do, to help you and your mom and your wife kind of move some stuff for your mom. And I just wound up drinking a lot of caffeine. We're talking 2 or 3 cups of coffee, whole lot of pop, like a couple things of green tea to get some of that healthy caffeine in there. I had the weirdest caffeine hangover this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Where you wake up and it's so hard to open your eyes. And you wonder, is this that sleep paralysis I'm thinking about? No, but the rest of my body's moving. It's moving. I just can't open my eyes. It was so weird, man.
Sounds awful.
And then I wake up. I finally get up the gumption to swing my leg that's twice as heavy as it normally is over my other leg, get out of bed. And my brain has this weird, like, buzzing feeling in it. And it's just weird, man.
Sounds awful.
It was pretty bad.
Perhaps fighting the caffeine buzz by putting more caffeine in your body was not the best maneuver.
I don't understand.
Yeah, thought you might not. That's why I drew this diagram for you.
Thank you.
Perhaps just a lot of water would have been better.
You know, I do drink a lot of water. I pee a lot, in case anyone's wondering.
So I believe that was our number one email written in. It's like, Wes, do you find yourself peeing? Would you say frequently? Very frequently?
Yep.
Moderately?
Or not at all.
Or not, because that's not a good one.
No, I pee a lot. Listeners out there, you're welcome. Your question has been answered.
The more you know.
But Steve, you said you had a lot of shit. What else do you have to talk about?
Oh, God. Just more Arkham, dude. It's all I got.
So you had one thing to talk about.
I had more. I talked about my ding-dong hanging out. Oh, did I mention my ding-dong also hung out of my open fly? I should have led with that.
Yeah, you might I can't even speak anymore.
But there's one more embarrassing thing, slightly embarrassing thing that happened this week. As you mentioned, you were over at my mom's house helping do some things around the house for my mom. And so you and I were spray painting this chain link fence in the back of my mom's house. It's like 40 feet wide, I don't know, 4 feet tall or whatever. It's not that big of a deal. You just went through 2 cans of spray paint to, you know, spray gray. And so you and I are just shooting the shit, talking about Jurassic World and, you know, other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, what were you out there painting total? Maybe an hour?
Yeah, God, at least 6 hours.
Okay, so 6 to 1 hours. And so from pressing the button on the spray paint, I could feel the individual muscle/tendon from the very tip of my index finger go through my hand, through my wrist, up my forearm and like into my upper arm. It is so sore and so weak. I feel like the biggest pussy in the world. I'm like, my arm hurts. What did you do? I held down a button for like all day.
No, like 45 minutes and I had a break.
My finger/tendon hurts so bad.
Hey, Steve, can you do me a favor and spray that Febreze?
I'll just take it out of the bottle and flick it with my other hand. Because I can't pull the trigger.
Or you try using your ring finger.
Oh, no.
Like a weirdo.
No. Or I just I drink a little Febreze in my mouth and just go.
I mean, you have options, is what I'm saying.
And to be fair with the way my mouth was today, I could have used a little Febreze in the mouth.
Yeah.
Have we discovered that mouthwash is really just mouth Febreze?
You know what? I think you might be the third person to say that. So you're up there.
So there you go. That was my week.
You know what? I listen to a podcast. You know, every now and then I think to myself, are platinum trophies really worth it? You know, this is usually when I'm grinding to get a platinum. I got like one or two trophies left to go. Are platinum trophies really worth it? And then I listened to a podcast called The Indoor Kids, which is with Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon, two fairly famous comedians. And they had a famous actor on there called Anthony Rapp. You might know him from Rent. He's the nerdy white guy with the glasses. And he was talking about how one of his biggest accomplishments is he has 44 platinum trophies.
Whoa!
And I'm like, yes! Vindication! It's not a waste of time.
From the former Broadway star.
That's right. Okay. He's now homeless. He works at a Walmart, but he has 44 platinum trophies. There you go, Steve.
Hey, whatever it takes to get you through your caffeine-induced hallucination of a life.
Steve, I'm still not sure if you're really here.
Well, you can see that my fly is open, and your leg is melted from my terrible breath.
That's right.
So there is that.
We have to talk about your terrible breath.
Terrible.
You're terrible.
For the record, I did brush my teeth as soon as I got home.
I doubt it.
That's a lie. I can smell you.
You probably did your belt, and you're like, well, that's enough steps.
Well, thank you. Gotta brush my teeth. Belts.
Now, let me ask. You brush your teeth. Do you do the mouthwash?
Yeah.
Do you do the floss?
Time to time.
Do you do the tongue scraping?
Oh, I don't have a tongue scraper anymore.
Yeah.
I did for a while. I need to get another one.
Okay.
That shit is crazy.
After your breath melted it into your mouth?
Yeah, that was the problem. It turned into just like melted, shriveled little plastic ball. Have you just tongue scraped?
No, I've never tongue scraped.
It's the first time, it is really kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
It's
because it's just a mass of like skin and flesh and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's your tongue falls out. Little did you know, it grows back very quickly.
Well, like a lizard's tail.
No, it's like, it's a squeegee of tongue slime.
Mm.
And it's gross, man.
You're making it sound really appetizing, by the way.
It's really good, though. It's one of those things where you do it the first time, you're like, that was in there? Oh, no.
What are the benefits of tongue scraping?
Well, a lot of where bad breath comes from, a lot of it is like food trapped, you know, in between your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is like just it stays on your tongue. There's so many like crevasses and like dips and stuff like in your tongue. They're like, yeah, that's where a lot of bad breath comes from,
Steve,
is the bacteria on your tongue, especially the back of your tongue.
Does your tongue look like Bryan Cranston's face?
I don't know. Take a look.
Oh, God! It's Walter White!
It feels very clean when you're done. Because it's a thing that does not get cleaned often, like a deep clean.
Okay, I'm glad you said a squeegee, because I was imagining like a straight razor on your tongue.
No, it's like a squeegee. It's just like a squeegee.
Okay, but a straight razor.
But very, very sharp and cutty.
Yeah. Good. I like that.
It's good, man. It's a good thing to have. I highly recommend it. My part of the routine, pee, mouthwash, in the shower, spit out the mouthwash in the shower.
Okay.
Then brush the toofs out of the shower.
So when do you, I'm going to use your phrase, when do you slap that ding-dong around?
When am I slapping the ding-dong? Well, that's why I go to work.
Oh, got it.
So I get paid to slap the old ding-dong.
So you're afraid to say that you're going to call in sick. You're not afraid to say that I go to work to slap my ding-dong.
No. They encourage it. But enough talking about the old dingle-dongle slap-o-rama.
Shall we get to the emails from last week? So in case you dum-dums out there missed it, Steve and I...
Oh, nice third-grade burn!
Yeah, you bubble butts! We had the top... we hit our 100 podcast mark!
Yeah.
This is our 101, Steve!
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Let's
call it quits.
See y'all.
That's right. No, so we had our 100 podcast celebration last couple of weeks where we talked about our top 50 things each that we've loved since we started the podcast, which has been the past 2 years and 4 months.
Which, of course, as soon as we were done, I was like, now this and that and this.
And, of course, we could do another 50 things. But we did have a couple people email in. First of all, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. Duncan Parker Newton Gaines writes in a very sweet email. I'm just going to read it from the top. Hey guys, congrats on making it to 100 episodes. I was incredibly, almost said super there, Wes is infecting my brain, you're welcome, I was incredibly honored to make Steve's Top 50. It's been a great run so far. Me calling Steve dumb, Steve calling me dumb, everyone, including Wes, calling Wes dumb, just a wonderful 2 years and 4 months. I followed the show through 3 different iTunes feeds and am still holding my breath that Netflix reviews will someday come back into style. Yeah, we want to do those too, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. In celebration of this achievement, I have compiled my list of the top 15 things I've experienced that Wes and Steve did together. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, number 15, the Netflix review of Double Dragon.
Yes.
That's good. Number 14.
Oh, that was another, oh God, what's his name? My favorite dude.
T-1000.
No, God, not him.
Ken Watanabe.
No, I love Ken Watanabe.
Mark Dacascos.
Mark Dacascos. I love Mark Dacascos.
Number 14 is our top 5 dream reboots. Number 13 is top 5 upcoming PS4 games. He's thinking about getting a PS4.
Hey, now's the time, man. Now's the time.
That's right.
Well, actually, a couple months from now is the time.
Number 12 is Netflix review, Jingle All the Way. It's one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
Number 11, top 5 most dangerous video game universes. That was an early one.
It was, yeah.
We did that in your like kind of smaller apartment when you were there for like 3 months.
That was one of the,
that was
original.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
The number 10 is Netflix review of Deathstalker because it is far less common for Wes to get mad at Steve than the reverse.
Yes.
It is. It is. Number 9, top 5 things that make you feel old.
That's a good one. Oh, no.
Number 8, top 5 video game levels. Number 7, top 5 worst of 2013. And top 5, number 6 is top 5 worst of 2014 because we are at our funniest when we're hating on things.
That's true.
Actually, Steve, I think you're at your funniest when you're hating on things.
Lucky for me. I'm hating all of the time.
Number 5 is Netflix review of Street Fighter. Whoa, what a terrible movie. Number 4 is top 5 spaceships. Just an episode of Steve being mad at Wes, who could ask for more. Yep.
I got real mad at you in that one.
Almost immediately. And you did not cool off at all.
Because it wasn't like the opening thing you said. You're like, I think spaceships are stupid.
Yeah, it's almost like I played an audio recording of that.
God.
Wow.
I'm already mad again.
Yeah, number 3 is top 5 useless superpowers.
Thank you.
Number 2 is top 5 deviant bedroom acts. Another early one.
Yeah.
Number 1 is, here's a blast from the past, Steve. The D&D PHB PSA Part 14 D&D Debate 1.
Wow.
I know. This is where Steve and I played D&D characters. Look this up. I think it's still out there. It should be, anyway. Steve and I played D&D characters, and we debated each other on a couch. And he says, this is the first time I ever got to experience Steve and Wes argue about anything. This has greatly increased my enjoyment of the podcast, simply because I know what your faces look like when you can't handle each other's bullshit anymore. I've been a fan since this video first went up on YouTube. Look forward to more entertainment in the future, guys, and thank you so much for what you've given us all so far.
Cheers to Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
To Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
I read this list because for people out there who just discover us, I just read off like 14 or 15 great things that of this podcast you can go back and listen to.
Yeah, it's the greatest hits album right there.
The best of right here.
Thank you, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
And I'm not a fan of part 14. It's a great PSA. I love that one. But I'm like 25 pounds heavier in that one. That's when all the booze and pizza and fast food caught up to me.
All in 1 week. Like, we're late. Sorry.
Why are my pants so tight? But thank you, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
So Drew says, happy maniversary.
Yeah.
Dear Wes and Steve, honestly, it would take me forever to come up with a top 50 list, so I thought I would just send you my top podcasts, as you mentioned in part of... as you mentioned in part 1. His number 6 is the Blacklist Table Reads. Great actors performing unpublished screenplays.
Oh, cool.
This is on wolfpop.com, I believe. His number 5 is How Did This Get Made, which we talked about on the podcast.
You are a big fan.
That's right. Number 4 is Rage Select, the classiest video game podcast on the internet. One of my favorite Let's Play websites.
Oh, my.
Number 3 is Junk Food Cinema, a really fun show celebrating cult classics. Yes. Number two is Digital Noise. Another episode on one of another podcast on oneofus.net. Creative reviews of weekly Blu-ray releases. And number one is Bunker Buddies, Sawbones, My Brother and Me, and The Adventure Zone. I lumped these together because they all feature the McElroy brothers, and their relationship and interactions make me embarrass myself laughing out loud every time.
Nice.
All right.
High praise.
Yes, of course, I didn't mention Five and Out. I am so glad I found you guys, and I am so grateful for all the work you put into entertaining us.
Aww.
Your loyal fans, you guys are the best.
Aww.
Yours, Drew.
Oh, Drew.
Drew, no, we're yours.
Drew, let me pinch your little cheeks, Drew.
Oh, Drew. So, guys, let that be a lesson for you. If you want your emails read, just compliment us to no end. Thank you again for writing into us, folks. As always, we love, love, love to hear what you guys have to say. But, Steve, enough about these people and their emails. Let's get to the important stuff. Us.
Nice, Wes. Yeah. Always classy.
That's me. Steve, what is this week's topic?
This week's top five, brand new format of top five.
We're bringing some new stuff for you in this brand new 100.
Yeah, we're doing this for the next 100 podcasts.
Yeah, get used to it.
We are doing our character deathmatch.
Mm-hmm.
We have chosen a few categories.
That's right.
And the name of the game here is I've chosen what I think is the best answer for this said category. Wes has chosen his. Mm-hmm. We will then pit them against each other in a verbal battle of why one should win against the other. It's kind of similar to a much less scientific version of Deadliest Warrior, if you remember that show.
Or if you're a fan of the card game Super Fight. It's kind of like that, where you show what you have and you have to explain why they win.
So the categories that we have chosen are our contestants from.
Yes.
We've chosen an animal.
That's right.
Why my animal will beat yours. We have chosen a female character from the realm of film.
Ah, or movies.
Or movies.
Mm-hmm.
We have chosen a child character.
That's my favorite.
And we have chosen a male television character.
Mm-hmm.
And for the final one, we have also chosen a creature from the world of video games.
Now, we are not doing these in that order, because let's start with our fifth, our number five category. See, this is going very smoothly, by the way.
Hey, there's a lot, once we get going, people know what's going on. It's
yeah,
all
sure,
right.
Sure.
Let's go.
It's, our fifth category is, what's it, Monster in Video Games.
Yes.
Steve, my Monster in Video Games, which will tear the shit out of your Monster in Video Games, is the Ubermorph from Dead Space 2.
Now explain to me the Ubermorph.
Now, you played part of Dead Space 1. Did you get to the regenerating Necromorph in Dead Space 1?
Yes.
This is like that, except you cannot kill this thing. At least not in Dead Space 2. It follows you. It has a weird-looking skull with five eyes, so it'll never lose track of you. And it has even larger limbs with larger blades, and it is faster than the regenerator. Steve, your monster in video game might as well be licking a lollipop and calling home to mom, saying, "Mom, I love you, but I gotta die." And this lollipop is delicious.
To be fair, I've had that conversation with my mother. It's not pleasant.
So that's why the Ubermorph is gonna kick the shit out of yours.
Can you tell me the approximate size of the Ubermorph?
Ooh, at least it's, I want to say it's about 8 feet tall, but with the limbs, it's probably about 11 feet tall.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good pick, considering I never got to it because I was so scared I pooped my pants and stopped playing the game. However, I feel like mine's going to beat you.
You sound really confident,
because
by the way.
Because it can rip your dude apart in three ways with its three heads, because it is the Hydra. From Game of Thrones, God of War, from God of War. And so yours is 11 feet tall. Mine is like, I don't know, 35, 40 feet tall, with three heads, with just flesh-tearing teeth, and the ability for, like, one to distract, or one to, like, smack you with its head. As the others come in, bite off a few limbs here, bite off two of your five eyeballs, then just bring you down to a more manageable bite size for the main head in the middle, which will promptly eat you whole.
Steve, you're missing a point here.
You are in space.
This
I am in water.
This my monster regenerates. And yes, I know the myth about the Hydra. I know. But the Hydra can bite. an arm off, he'll regenerate it in about, what, 10 seconds? But he's super fast. So he'll run straight through the bullshit of your Hydra heads and go straight for your stupid black heart.
I kind of feel like you won.
Really?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Are you conceding defeat?
Never. I will also make sure that we do not fight in an area where there are ship masts that will allow my head to be pulled down and impaled upon.
Sure.
Please enlighten everyone here, Wes. What is the myth of the Hydra?
The myth of the Hydra is when you cut off one head, two arise in its place.
That's right. So speaking of regenerative powers, it seems as if we have a stalemate.
That's it.
Stalemate.
Bit of a stale Brad here.
We have a bit of a, you know, Leinenkugel disease.
What? The whole lymphatic system.
That's the one. So I feel like this is going to be a super ultra bloody battle because we're going to be cutting things off all
and regenerating stuff in seconds.
In seconds.
But this is why my character would win, my monster would win, because two more arise in its place, it would eventually get so heavy, it'll just fall over. And then the Ubermorph will just walk around leisurely to behind it and stab it in its heart.
So are you saying if you cut off one Hydra head, two grow, then if you cut off those two, there will be four there?
Yes.
It's all in the same neck? I don't think that's accurate. I think necks grow as well.
Have you not seen Hercules?
Which one? Kevin Sorbo?
Yeah, no, the one with Megara, and it was Disney animated?
Yes. Which is the basis of all of my facts.
See, the Hydra, yes, it grows necks as well, but it only has one body.
Well, yeah.
So it'll get...
Yeah, but the body is underwater.
Not necessarily.
It will be for this battle.
Okay, so you're calling it.
Advantageous for me.
You're calling it. So if the Ubermorph was also fighting in water...
Well, look, so we're fighting either in water or we're fighting or in space. And if we are in space, there is no gravity. The Messiah can get too heavy. Shit, come on now.
Also, the Ubermorph can survive in space. I don't think the Hydra, an oxygen-breathing animal, will be able to do that.
Well, then we're not fighting in space, and we're fighting in water, in the Aegean Sea. Duh.
Well,
where all of these battles take place.
And if we're doing that, the Hydra has to stay above water because it is oxygen-breathing. The Necromorph does not. So it'll leisurely walk under the Hydra and stab upward into its soft belly. Mm.
I gotta say, this is obviously a win for me.
I think that is one for me, Steve.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Okay.
I'll give you that one.
What's number four category, Steve?
Number four, this is gonna go to our TV male characters. These characters can only come from the world of television.
So your number four is Doogie Howser.
Doogie Howser, MD, thank you very much.
He'll break your arm and then fix it.
Which stands for Merciless Destroyer. Okay. I have a couple of answers here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what the stronger choice is that will actually like provide a win. But I'm going to go with my gut here. Because I just think it's too good.
Okay.
I'm going with MacGyver.
Great. Explain to me why MacGyver and his stupid coffin jet ski, whatever the hell that thing was you showed me.
Okay, A, even if you try to kill him, he will emerge from his coffin and turn it into a jet ski. That's why. And for the record, if you don't know, this is a real thing that happened in MacGyver. Can I tell you the one person MacGyver narrowly beat out?
Yes.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Steve, I'm so glad that you're in your mid-50s.
But seriously, MacGyver did get thrown into a river in a coffin, and somehow he turned into a jet ski.
Yep.
He didn't even have gasoline.
He used his sweat and urine.
Okay, so here's the main reason why you're not going to defeat MacGyver. Because MacGyver can literally turn anything around him into a lethal weapon or a weapon of a way to distract you or, I don't know, knock you unconscious. I mean, he can do anything with anything.
All he needs is like a toothpick and some belly button lint. And he has the most accurate bow and arrow in the world has ever seen. Not just that. He's a suave, debonair guy, but not too handsome.
Yeah.
So he's not going to, like, cause fights with the ladies just because he's too handsome looking like Daniel Craig, James Bond business. No, no, no. He is normal looking enough to sneak around. And let's say this fight is in a mall food court. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, think of the weapons that MacGyver can create out of a food court. Think about it.
The possibilities, they are endless.
Give me three items, and I will put them together in a weapon a la MacGyver.
A la MacGyver. Okay, McDonald's hamburger.
Done.
Okay, napkin dispenser.
Okay.
And the four, like, things that chair legs sit on in malls, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so obviously MacGyver has just created a fighter jet. So MacGyver...
Don't even need to explain it. Makes sense.
You know how it happens.
That's right.
He pops the top off of the napkin dispenser. He hops inside. He spins around the buns of the hamburger to create lift. Like, it's so fast that it's a jet engine. He uses the patty as the steering wheel.
Steve, are you in fact MacGyver?
I can't say. And then, obviously, he programs the foot things as missiles to come down from the air and destroy whatever bullshit you have. MacGyver wins. Who's your dude?
You know what? I don't even want to say anymore. You made such a good case. No, mine. I also have a couple.
Is it Balky?
Balky? Yes, it is.
It's Monk, isn't it?
It's Tim Taylor from Home Improvement.
good pick.
Yeah. No, mine is now mine's so lame and it's so normal. It's Grant Ward from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Lame.
I know, it's so lame because he's just the best male martial artist on that show. He can kick anybody's ass. He's routinely kicked roomfuls of people's asses just by himself. He can use pretty much any single weapon. So you know what? If MacGyver were to get a fighter jet, Grant Ward would take like a quarter and like flick it, and like it would go through MacGyver's skull. And then Grant Ward would hop into your burger napkin fighter jet and fly away.
Incorrect. MacGyver would simply take that flying quarter and, like, he would very quickly make, like, a pony quarter ride that you could... And he'd, like, hold it, and the flying quarter would turn on the pony ride thing, and he would then ride all over whatever the fuck your guy's name is.
Grant Ward.
Grant Amihimura.
That's him.
MacGyver... Okay, seriously, this is how MacGyver would defeat your dude. With a cheeseburger and a napkin. And what was the other thing?
The little discs that the chair legs sit on.
Okay. So this is what he's going to do. Obviously, your guy is a finely tuned ass-kicking machine.
He is a lethal weapon.
That's why MacGyver, as the kicks come, in one hand, he's going to hold the top bun. In the other hand, he's going to hold the bottom bun of the burger. He's going to use them like blocking dummies. Then right when he kicks the burgers out, MacGyver's going to spin, throw the meat patty in Grant's mouth, where he'll say, "Oh, God," and he'll take a bite. He'll be like, "Oh, no, oh, this is essentially poison to me and my finely tuned ass-kicking machine." And as he's ruining the day that he finally ate McDonald's, MacGyver takes the napkin and he dispenser, and he's used the feet of the chair to sharpen it into blades, and he turns it into essentially a giant Chinese star and throws it right into Grant's big, stupid, dumb head.
See, I forgot to mention one of the biggest qualities about Grant Ward. He is not against shooting a motherfucker in the face. So
MacGyver is.
He is against it.
He is against. He does not like to use guns.
So even let's say that Grant Ward even appears on the battlefield, because Grant Ward is not above sitting back in like the food court adjacent to that food court with a sniper rifle, or like let's say the JCPenney's across in the food court with a sniper rifle and just pick your dude off.
This was my like legit. If I'm
my life depended on, I needed to send somebody in to win, I would actually send the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Sure. But, Steve, I just want to give this one to you because MacGyver can just do anything with anything.
These are my top three picks. MacGyver, Walker, Texas Ranger, and Nitro from American Gladiators.
Okay, Nitro's dead.
He's very dead.
He's just dead.
But I kind of just want him to die because Nitro, he's an a-hole.
But if your pick is MacGyver, I mean, he's got to win.
He's got to win.
He's got to win.
Thank you.
Yes.
One and one.
One and one. Okay, so the number three is the animal.
Animal.
From anything.
Yes.
Now, I picked an animal. So far, we're solid.
Following the rules.
Mm-hmm. I picked from the world of Harry Potter.
Oh.
A hippogriff.
Oh, this is going to be a good fight.
For those of you who don't know, this is, it's been a while since I've read or seen Harry Potter, but it has...
To be fair, you've never seen Harry Potter.
That is true. It has the head and torso and front legs of a bird of prey, but the hind quarters of a lion. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it's very fast in the air or on land, and it has sharp, sharp talons, and it is carnivorous as well. So, Steve... It can gallop full speed because, you know, lions gallop. It can it can run full speed like a jungle cat because, hey, that's what it is. Or it can swoop down like a bird of prey and pick your stupid animal. I'm guessing your animal is Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Damn it!
It can pick your stupid Chihuahua dog up off the ground with its eagle vision and then tear it apart and its talons. And by the way, the talons are the size of, let's say, LeBron James's feet. And it's got, let's talk about the talons for a second. They're basically raptor claws. So even if it was galloping full force, I don't know why I'm focused on the galloping.
Yeah.
It's running full force at you, and it doesn't peck your eyes out. It'll whip out those talons and eviscerate you, and your guts will spill on the ground, whatever stupid animal you're bringing at me.
I believe a hippogriff is the front quarters of an eagle, hind quarters of a horse.
Of a horse?
That's what I'm reading here. That's what I'm reading.
Is that the myth or the one
I'm
from
now,
Harry
I'm
Potter?
I'm now going to the Harry Potter. I'm going to the Harry Potter wiki real quick. Just want to be clear.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. We've got a. It is horse. It is horse. It is verified by several.
Wait, not in Harry Potter, though.
Yes, by Harry Potter.
It is not in Harry Potter.
Yes, it is.
No, you tell me your. We're going to take a break. We're going to look this one up. Okay, so he's part horse. So that has been confirmed to my liking.
To your chagrin.
To my chagrin. Hey, but horses are still badass, and I was inadvertently using galloping correctly.
That is true.
So maybe subconsciously I knew it.
Our animals are way more similar than you may think. Because mine, as I would like to call them, the great Deus Ex Machina, that are the great eagles from Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Yes. So we are going to have some kick-ass aerial battles.
Sure.
But this is why mine will win. Because mine, the great eagles, have a wingspan of 75 feet. And they don't really explain this in the movies, but... The great eagles, they have the ability to see through all physical matter, except for the blackness of the Morgoth's evil pits. So, my eagle is bigger, it's faster, it's stronger, it is what saves the day every fucking time. Every time. Undefeated in battle are the great eagles, and I do not see this changing by some... half-breed eagle with some horse ass on it. I don't think... Because I'm taking this fight to the air. We're going to the air, baby. You can get down on the ground. You can run around as much as you want. I'm going to swoop down and come in from the air the whole time. Not even worried about your horse ass. Because all you're going to be doing is dragging that through the air while I have this sleek, feather-light body that's 75 feet wide coming after you with razor sharp. So all your talent talk, I appreciate it. Because I've got the same thing. All the beak talk, I appreciate it. I got the same thing, except mine are bigger and stronger.
But, Steve, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And the more people they will feed once Buckbeak eviscerates your stupid golden eagle.
No. I appreciate you calling all of my things just stupid.
Yep.
You know why you're going to lose? Because it's stupid.
It's stupid. Because your eagle is larger, sure. But that means it's more lumbering. It's lumbering along in the air like Nicolas Cage in Stolen.
Yeah,
sure, in a straight line, yeah, it's majestic. But try turning on a dime. No, that thing will turn at best on one of those Sacagawea dollar coins. All
right? You're right, because obviously an eagle would corner worse than half eagle, half fucking horse. Yeah, that sounds right.
All I'm saying is it's mine's tinier. It's like a tiny fighter pilot in the air. It's dodging. It's dipping. It's darting.
No.
Left and right.
No, you're incorrect. Yours is like half a fighter pilot with a fucking Winnebago on the back of it.
Look, you see Buckbeak fly in the movies. Like, that doesn't hinder it at all.
Compared to a straight up fighter jet versus a fighter jet with a Winnebago on it, I take the fighter jet.
Oh, a Winnebago. This isn't. It's Spaceballs over here, you ass.
It is the perfect aerial killing machine, only blown up to bigger, stronger proportion.
Yeah, okay, this is only if this is in the air, because if it ever went down to the ground, the Buckbeak is going to eviscerate the shit out of your dumb golden
eagle. Oh, it's dumb now. It's no longer stupid. It's no way, dude. My gigantic eagle beats your half eagle.
I want to see a simulation of this.
Done.
I still think...
I just ran it. I win.
I want to see how fast your eagle can turn and how fast my Buckbeak can turn.
Yeah, and it's fine. You may be able to turn a little bit faster, even if I concede that. I will just crush you to death with the giant razor claws.
I'm sorry. Are we fighting for freedom now?
We are.
Wow.
My eagle is also William Wallace.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then you obviously win.
Nah, I definitely win already.
You know what? I really, there's too many variables in here.
Disagree.
I don't know enough about...
The variables do not go in your favor. Horse is not going to help you. If this were a land-based fight, and you were going to be able to use your flight as like the over-the-top advantage... You know, that over-the-top advantage is already a hindrance to you in comparison to mine.
I know. My rebuttal is solely based on the quickness that I hope Buckbeat has. Like, I have no idea if he actually has it. But, yeah, so because I have no facts to substantiate with these mythical animals, I cannot say that mine beats yours. So you win this one.
Yes. So let's go to, I do.
Let's go to the number two.
Number two.
And Steve, what is our number two?
Number
and
two.
You lead us off.
Is going to be ladies from the genre of film/movies.
That's right.
And I've mentioned her before, but this is just the best answer. And the winner is The Bride from Kill Bill, Volume 1 and or Volume 2. I will let you say yours, and then we'll fight it out.
Mine is Mallory Kane from Haywire. Gina Carano.
Really? God damn, I love me some Gina Carano.
Mm-hmm. She is not afraid to get down and dirty. She is a martial artist. She is a wrestler.
Hold on.
And she's not afraid to shoot people in the face.
Set the stage for me of the fight. Where, like at the end of Deadliest Warrior, when they do the quote-unquote simulation and they show you the fight. Where is this fight happening? You can call the place.
Let's just go... In Five and Out Studios, right here.
In this apartment.
In this apartment, right here.
Great. So everyone knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. Picture a living room. A living room with a couple of couches, a little
coffee table.
Thank you.
And a fireplace and a TV.
That's right.
And a radiator heater.
Yes.
Why is Haywire Gina Carano going to win?
Because, if you'll notice, with the exception of one fight, all of her fights are out in the open, so she can swing that sword around. In close quarters like this...
Oh, she's
like
got
this,
a sword.
Well, in close quarters like this, it's not going to help her. Her sword's going to be banging up against the walls
okay.
and shit.
Okay.
And so Gina Carano can easily just dive in under her defenses and take her down with one of her wrestling moves, put her in a sleeper hold, and then choke the life out of her. And if that doesn't work... She has guns to shoot her with.
You know what? I'm going to change my pick, actually, because I feel like The Bride slaughters Gina Carano.
It does not. You didn't even support this.
I don't even need to support it. I think you do. Here's a better matchup. Gina Carano. Fine, I'll give you the reason why the bride wins. Okay, here's the reason the bride wins. She is a trained ninja assassin. So you're talking about her sword clanging around the room. Guess what ninjas don't do? Clang their sword off of anything. Off of anything. It is an extension of their body. And fine, let's say somehow she gets the old clingety-clang somewhere and takes off your precious lamp over there. Gina Carano may shoot at the bride. The bride is also like a master martial artist. She can jump off of this table and do a backflip off the wall and come down with her foot on the top of her head. Gina Carano is an MMA brawler type fighter. She is a trained ninja assassin.
But we're not talking about Gina Carano in real life. We're talking about Mallory Caine and Haywire.
Let's
go Gina Carano versus Uma Thurman.
No, so I've never seen Haywire, so I'm just going off of what I assume the fighting style that they brought her in that movie for. If I'm incorrect, please let me know. But I assume there are some close elbows being thrown, some Muay Thai knees being thrown.
Yeah, it's
shooting dudes like you're shooting the like pulling the legs.
As you
grappling.
Say, she is a fantastic martial artist, as well as they do some wrestling in there.
Yeah. Well,
but there's also a lot of gunplay and weaponplay as well. She's no stranger to weapons.
Great. So let's go back to the samurai sword that is an extension of her body. If that's gone, she ain't no slouch with a shot as well, whether that be shotguns, pistols. She's got that Quentin Tarantino dialogue with her. There's no way she's going to die with laying out those Quentin Tarantino lines. Shit.
Okay, so the sword, extension of her body. Gina Carano.
And it is a Hattori Hanzo.
Mallory Caine is a trained operative that is the best trained operative, brings down a whole organization, or at least one of it's been a while since I've seen it, in case you can't tell. A section of that organization. She's no slouch either.
How did she kill the goons of the association?
Oh, she shot them in the face.
Right. The bride hacked all of these other trained ninjas into bits.
You want to know the best part about guns, Steve? You don't have to be within sword's length to kill people.
That is true. That is a very good point of guns. I think we have established that part. This is how I see this fight playing out in this room. So the bride's going to come in and lay down some just thick Quentin Tarantino dialogue. And Gina Carano from Haywire is going to say, "Duh."
You are the worst. You have never seen Haywire. You just assume the worst out of it. You know, I feel like you picture her character like a drunken, drunken aunt at a Thanksgiving dinner, stumbling around like, "Let me show you my rendition of like Muay Thai form number 9." She kicks over the table.
Then Gina Carano is going to shoot at the bride. She's going to deflect it with her sword, and then as that happening, she's going to tackle the bride like through a wall, and it's going to be awesome, no doubt about it. Then the bride is going to give her like the 3-inch punch that she used to get out of the coffin and just explode Gina Carano's ribs right open. That's what she's going to do. More heavy Quentin Tarantino dialogue. The bride takes it like a lamp to the face. She's going to take, you know, like Carano's going to work the body on her pretty good, and then the bride is then going to, she's going to turn a found weapon into like a club and just go to town on Gina Carano. Give her a sweet Tarantino one-liner as she like breaks her jaw apart.
You know what? I'm just still not convinced because it can go either way. She can swing that sword around. Gina Carano can bash this coffee table, can pick up these two coffee table legs, block the hacks with her sword, club her over the head.
It is a Hattori Hanzo sword. Nothing blocks it.
I'm sorry, is it Valyrian steel?
It is Valyrian. It is, actually. Asian Valyrian steel.
No, man, I don't think it'll cut through these table legs. That's all I'm saying.
So the way this boils down to me is we're taking a master martial artist ninja versus an MMA fighter is what I see it as.
A master martial artist / wrestler / CIA, like just pretty much a CIA operative.
No. Not.
Yes.
Plus a sword.
Plus a gun.
Plus a gun. She also has a gun, if need be. So see, we have. Let's say both master martial artists, which the bride is way more masterful.
Just before we go on, are you half as turned on as I am right now?
I am. Boy, look at me. I can't show you what I'm doing right now.
Okay, so can we just agree that both of us aren't going to concede?
Fine, because I win, and that's why
I don't think that's what happened.
Because I will not concede because I'm victorious.
I will not concede because I think it'll come down to a lucky shot.
This is where we need a fan vote on this one to let us know, because the bride for sure will win.
Well, you know the bride's going to win the fan vote because...
Because it's the winner!
Because no one's seen Haywire!
Then that's... correct! Then I will win, and I will take a win any way I get it.
Everyone just loves that Quentin Tarantino.
Well, yeah, because it is great. And not just Quentin Tarantino. She's just a super-duper badass chick.
Ugh.
Number one brings us to our child battle.
Which, what is better than we've been leading up to this?
Kids duking it out.
That's right. So, Steve... I'm going to start. I have two.
Tommy Pickles.
And Charles Finster.
As a tag team.
They're both badass in separate respects, but I'm going to have to go with Hit Girl from Kick-Ass.
Wait, how old is she?
She is 10.
Okay.
So she is, talk about trained ninja assassins without the ninja part, but with the swords. She's not, quote unquote, technically a ninja. She is trained to be a deadly weapon from birth with all these weapons. Sorry.
From birth.
She is trained on weapons daily since the day she could walk. She, every single time she enters the fighting ring, she flips over everybody and she does all these crazy moves, and by the time she's done, everyone's around her dead. She can use swords and other bladed weapons. She can use guns of any kind, and she's also what's higher than a black belt? She is a martial arts master. At 10 years old, let's not forget the fact that she composed as a 10-year-old girl.
Right.
To get the drop on whatever stupid child, I'm guessing Anakin Skywalker from episode 1.
Damn it!
Hit Girl's gonna take it, no matter what.
That's a tough opponent. I was thinking you were gonna go with a male character, which was going to give me a bit more of an advantage.
Yeah.
So I went with Matilda. From The Professional.
That was my other pick.
Was it really?
It was.
Really?
Yep.
I recently just watched The Professional again. And that, by the way, that movie is fantastic. If you haven't seen it in a while, please go back and watch it again. This is not crazy swirling blades through the air. This is not, a bloodbath in the action movie sense. This is a strategic, works more in the shadows kind of killer. And also can pose as an adorable, 12-year-old girl to get the drop on. That's why I was hoping you would have a young male character. So you could just... Because one of the most amazing things about Matilda...
Walt Jr. was my honorable mention.
Matilda is surprisingly, There's a real maturity to the way that she speaks at, 12 years old, how her eyes kind of, cut through you and just puts you off kilter a little bit. She's a very intense, mysterious 10, 12-year-old, however old she is.
She's 12.
So she's 12 years old. So that was going to be a big advantage, but I feel like going against a psychopath 10-year-old girl doesn't help as much.
Two things, Steve. My girl has been trained since birth. Your girl has been trained for at most a few months.
Yeah, about a year, yeah.
Plus, she's a smoker. So
doesn't
after
help.
A few minutes,
doesn't help.
She's going to be wheezing, coughing.
Yeah, mine has to be a slower assassination style murder as opposed to all out bloodbath, huge fight.
But you hit the nail on the head. Mine's a psychopath.
Yours is a psychopath. So
she'll see that coming from a mile away. In fact, the way the fight will start is they're going to pass each other down, like, let's say just a school hallway, and they're going to look at each other, and then they'll have that look, and then it's on.
See, I think it would be, so let's say they're walking down the sixth grade hallway or whatever, and Matilda would be like, say something like, hey, I like, you know, like that kind of like that low, like, no matter who you are, you somehow getting like, and you're like, what does, oh, something. And she would try to like lure her over by her locker where she has some sort of kind of like booby trap set up already. Mm-hmm. And your girl would just, Matilda would be like, hey, and the girl would turn around, knives out. All right. Like, ah! Matilda's like, holy shit.
But you know, hit girls constantly wearing body armor anyway.
Yeah. So there's going to be a point where like Matilda takes a couple shots to the face and she'd be like down on the ground and be like, no, wait, and get her to stop for a second. And then she's going to like open up her book and there's going to be some sort of like small explosive device or something, like throws it at her. Like these little, you know, assassin type like gadgety things that I feel like she would be, or there'd be a gun in her book sort of deal. Like she could reach in the side of the pages and pull the trigger. Because I feel like once Leon is gone, like she's going to develop some of her own, you know, tricks of the trade that she'll be able to use, you know, that focus more on her youth.
Steve, let me ask you again. Are you half as turned on as I am? Steve, I love to say it. I think Hit Girl kicks the shit out of your pick.
Yeah, I was really hoping you'd have a dude and I could just kind of like, you know, ease my way into a nice assassination kill. But it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
But Steve, you are the big winner of this one.
Yeah, obviously. MacGyver for the win.
Yeah, I mean, well, actually, I've already conceded the fact that the bride is going to win if we leave it up to the fans.
Yes.
Unless there is some huge upset and they're all like, no, Parker Gina Carano from Haywire is the best movie ever.
Yeah, well, no one says that ever. No one has ever said Haywire is the best movie ever.
No one.
Nobody.
After we're done, let me show you a fight scene from Haywire and then we'll duke it out. In real life.
After that, let me show you the bride slaughtering the crazy 88s for the next like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then defeating possibly the second most badass chick in film history with Oshi Ren, the Lucy Liu character.
Sure.
She is maybe even more badass than the bride. Maybe.
It just comes down to a lucky shot, man.
I don't think so.
I think it does.
Completely incorrect.
Does.
There's no luck, only skill.
I may it deep inside know that you're right, but I'm not gonna say it. We gotta go higher. I'm gonna win. I don't know.
And that's how we decide most battles.
Yeah.
So to recap, the first battle was our mythic beasts from video games, and we had the Hydra being defeated by
the Ubermorph.
The Ubermorph.
From Dead Space 2.
Number four, we had the grand champion of the day, MacGyver, taking down some guy from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Grant Ward from S.H.I.E.L.D.
And number three, we had my super awesome Eagles defeat your just awesome half Eagle.
That's right. Buckbeak.
The hippogriff.
But it would be the saddest death of such a noble animal. We didn't even get to his etiquette. The golden...
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how... I don't know how that didn't make it in the battle. That, you're right. You know what? Let's go back. Important thing about all of these fights is we did not examine etiquette.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The fuck are you talking about?
So Buckbeak lost in a very sad death scene.
It's like, oh, but you drink your tea like a monster. My heavens, are you still wearing your shoes indoors?
My point was going to be, it's going to be sad because he's such a proud, noble creature. Just go on, Steve. I've lost the will to podcast.
My number two, another victory on my end. The Bride.
Defeating
UFC fighter.
I started out so well, too, with the Ubermorph.
It was strong.
It was strong.
I was feeling worried.
Mallory Kane was the UFC fighter, or the CIA operative in question, you ass.
But you did come back strong with your numero uno pick, which defeated my Matilda from The Professional.
Hit Girl can take out pretty much everything else on your list.
Yeah, it's not taking out my giant eagles.
Or MacGyver.
That's true.
Nothing's taking down MacGyver.
What? Who would win? MacGyver or the bride?
MacGyver.
That's, he's like Batman. Who would win, MacGyver or Batman?
He is just a more, you know, like... he's not more anything than Batman. He's not more anything. I take that back.
All right. Well, folks, as we said before earlier in the podcast, we love, love, love hearing what you guys have to say.
Guys, if you think that we got the winners right, or if you think we got the winners wrong, please let us know. We definitely got them right. Definitely got them right. Because mine win the majority of the fight. Also, if you guys have, you know, a matchup of children that you want to see fight, if you have a matchup of TV men you want to see fight, we would love to see your matchup battles
as
well.
It doesn't have to be limited to those two categories,
Any of the five that we did. You know, grab a friend, have them give you one, and go against yours. We'll talk about those on air as well. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. So, again, we always love to hear from you. We look forward to it next week.
And as always, you can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com. We look forward to reading those emails. Or you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. Steve, am I forgetting anything?
I think you're forgetting that I'm Steve.
Wait, I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out!